Welcome back to another episode of Sportscast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared.
This week we raise the bat, episode number 50.
Let's go.
Mate, episode 50, got there at last.
We did.
How's things? The Grasshoppers win, they're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Just.
Scrape home, but... yeah, a few ring-ins.
Bit of tension in the team, mate.
A few tension, yeah. Blow-ups, fighting, but we got the win, mate. So that's
the marquee man, I hear the marquee man was trying to transform into Rocky Balboa out there. Him and Scotty Logan, the uni boys. Bit of frustration after their loss last week.
Yeah, I think so, but no, we got the win. I don't know where, I think we're coming second, so yeah.
See what happens, mate. Their ladder is about as regularly updated as the Newcastle District Cricket, mate.
Yeah, once a fortnight.
Okay, so we will start with Newcastle and District Cricket. Plenty happening, mate, this weekend. We obviously have two-day cricket and then, well, triple headers, double headers, however you want to term them on Sunday. So, big weekend there at in the Newcastle action, mate. Plenty to see. We might start with a bit of a recap of last week's games, the ones that actually got on.
Yeah.
There wasn't too many of them. We'll start, we'll just run through the matches and have a look at who got on, who didn't. We'll start with Western Cardiff Bullaroo. It was a bit all over the shop this one. It's saying that Cardiff won at one point, depending on what online scores you're looking at. But so Cardiff obviously out in the first innings, 181. West were quick by 7 for 216 declared. A bit of a tail wag there from Edmonton King and Aldous. So they then, Cardiff, 2 for 115, couldn't put themselves into a position to try and reverse outright with, I guess they only probably had about 50 or 60 overs to spare to bat with, and so they batted 30, and I think they probably called it and went to the pub.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, there's some funny things going on with the My Cricket, but the West boys definitely got the win. So
technology, it's a magic thing when it works.
Yeah, happy days for them. And they were in that pretty bad spot there, 4 for 23, I think it was at Stumps the week before. But obviously the Night Watchman, Aldous, has done a fantastic job.
Well, mate, they got themselves, not only were they, I think they were 3 for 23 overnight. They ended up at 6 for 77 at one point with Price and Whibble both out, which, you know, they would have, Cardiff would have their tails up at that point. But as you say, I think it would have then come to Aldous and probably Emerton, who would have come in at number 8, who put on almost a 100-run partnership, which got him out of trouble. And then a little quick fire by the skip, the quick fire 34, helped them get in front and make that declaration. Interesting, though, poor Nathan Hillier got a bit of a bashing. 7 overs, 1 maiden somehow in this, none for 69. So he went for 69 off 6 overs.
That's handy.
Yeah, he obviously copped the brunt of a couple of those tail end batsmen who decided to tee off and get him a bit of a lead. But yeah, there was a couple of bowlers there that sort of even Shannon Beals came on, went for 9 off and over. The pick probably the man, he's been the man from in recent weeks when he's played. He missed one of the T20 games, it was Aaron Beals. 4 wickets for 44 runs off 18 overs. So his spin bowling's been a real good, I guess, acquisition for them this year.
Yeah, it definitely has. But yeah, I suppose they're falling in a bit of a heap, but West will be happy to get the win. Cardiff probably back to the drawing board, mate.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. They look like they were going to be right up amongst it earlier in the year, but they're falling away a little bit now. But we'll touch on the latter once we get through the results, mate. We'll fire through these. Hamwicks and Stockton, obviously no play there, as much as I'm sure Hamwicks would have liked to have gone back for a dip at another 10 points.
Should have found out, were they at the wash tub, Stockton?
Oh, I don't know, mate. It might have been that just drowning their sorrows somewhere. Maybe locking themselves in their rooms, lights off.
Still on high after winning that thriller the last week.
Oh, mate, they're in form now. They would have been wanting to play on Saturday. Other games, Merriweather Walls End, not enough action there. So that one was a draw. Probably not too much to note from that one, really, essentially. So that's those games. Charlestown, Newcastle City at Cahiba Oval. I mean, we had Newcastle City bowled out the first innings, 106. Charlestown, fairly decent click, put on 1 for 115, declared at that point overnight. Now, I don't think we had any more play on day two, mate.
No,
so
just sat around and...
yeah, well, not even declared, sorry, so just didn't get on.
Lifted the covers and, yeah, water got through and they called it about 3 o'clock.
Yeah, well, who trusted those blokes with the covers, mate?
Yeah.
One job. So, yeah, that's a bit unfortunate. I think they would have declared anyway, so I don't think we would have seen players going on. I think they probably would have been chasing outright points there, so they'll be a little bit disappointed about that. But no one else to blame but, I guess, the weather and themselves there, with it being a home game for Charlestown. So what else we got, mate? I guess Waratah were defeated by Toronto.
Yeah, that's a big result.
So it was an outright big jump for Toronto. So Waratah, obviously, 81 in the first innings. Toronto got to 7 for 231 overnight. Sent them back in and bowled them out for even less, 70 in the second innings. Only two players making double figures. They essentially were, they were 2 for 58 at one point and all out for 70. So they lost 8 for 12.
Five big fat zeros, mate.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, there's certainly a few. John O'Toomey doing his best in the tail, mate. He and Scott McKenzie putting on a partnership of seven to try and steer him home. And Jono with five not out. The red ink, mate, he'll be loving that.
Yes.
Again, Johnny Durheim was the man for them. Charlton was the best of the bowlers. 6 for 15. Griffin Lee again, 3 for 11. Adrian Chad, the skipper, mate, couldn't even get a pole. What's he doing?
Yeah, well, should give him the neuro.
Yeah, exactly. He might find it hard getting off Lee and Charlton the way they're bowling, mate, I would have thought.
Yes.
So that, as we said, that's a big boost for Toronto that they managed to do that. And really a real death knell for Waratah. Their season's all over. I'm not sure what's going on out there, mate. All forms of the game, they're struggling. Like Stockton showed glimpses from time to time, but I mean, they're horrible at other times, but obviously beat, you know, got a big scalp last week. So shows that anything's possible. And the other one, mate, a bit of an upset. These boys obviously had James Rushford's 30th birthday on their mind.
Yeah, 10 players for the day, mate.
What happened there? Fill me in.
Oh, he was just said he needed to get the house ready for his party in the evening, mate, and said he wouldn't turn up because he obviously batted the week before. And
so, I mean, he wasn't required.
Wasn't required, but still, it's a team game, mate.
I mean, in saying that, there was still, I can't think, they must have got through close to 90 overs on day one, so they probably could have had a crack at reverse outrighting with how shaky Belmont can be, but obviously just decided they all wanted to get the rush.
Oh, no, they didn't get onto a four.
Ah, that was delayed, was it?
Yeah, it was delayed, so they got on a four and then got resold for about, 16?
So what you're telling me is they only had to bat for 2 hours to at least stave off and claim a draw.
Get 30 runs to get the win, Uni, yeah.
Well, even if they didn't get the win, like, it wasn't even 30, 22 runs, or 21 runs they lost by.
Yeah.
You know, like, they were 3 for 62.
Yeah, they were
100. 5 for 102, and then they lost 5 wickets for, well, they would have been 4 for 102 at one point. They lost 6 wickets for 21 runs.
Yeah, well, they were 5 for 105 at Stump, so, yeah. They,
at the end of the day.
Hutto got none for the day, mate. He called it 100, so I don't know what happened there.
Are you sure they were 5 down overnight? Oh, yeah, that would have been because Lowell was out last out, but it would have been 103 or 104 because Hudson fell at 104.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, but not a great day. They would have been all out in about now.
5 for 19. Scott Logan didn't trouble the scorers.
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be, he might be troubling the second grade scorers next week, I might thought.
Yeah, a big boost for Belmont, obviously carrying on their form from the T20.
Yeah, mate. It's interesting, mate. And interesting because obviously Haynesworth didn't get many runs, so it's good to see a few others. And Jace Lawson, a good match out for him. 4 wickets. And a nice little 50 as well, mate. So he's starting to find some form. He can be a dangerous player.
Yeah, he can be.
Hopefully, yeah, his experience is probably some that needs to sort of step up alongside Haynesworth. And I mean, while you're not expecting him necessarily to bat and get 50s all the time, he is a handy enough bat that can sort of, he's that sort of, you know, 7-8 all rounder. Yeah, so they've got a couple of those sort of guys, him, Toby Gray. But yeah, I guess if Belmont can stick to their guns and play the cricket they have been playing in their good points, then they can mix it with anyone at this stage, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. But, Uni, I don't know what's going on there, mate, but back to the drawing board for the Harriet and Co.
Yeah, well, they've got a big game this weekend too, in the one days and the 2 days, the T20 and the 2 days, but we'll start with the 2 days, mate. We'll get onto the summer bash in a minute. We might start with two sides that have been a long way from form in recent weeks, and that's Newcastle City hosting Cardiff Boolaroo. I expect to see Rahul Bakshi back in. The latest I'm hearing out of Cardiff's camp is that their other input, Varun Sharma, is on his way back to India, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame for the competition, but yeah, they've obviously stuck to their guns discipline-wise. And
yeah, look, I don't think they've shipped him out. I think there's some personal reasons behind that as well, but I'm sure that the disgruntled nature of his relationship with the other import, Bakshi, is probably a little bit more settled at the club, having been there for a few years. it probably wouldn't have helped the situation, I would suggest. But again, all I know is that, yeah, they sort of indicated that he would be leaving. And as you said, he's been a very good player for them. Hopefully Rahul can get back to playing his cricket and back to the best of what we know he can deliver. And I guess we go from there. But, well, they're still a very strong side. The Bills brothers, both very handy. They've shown what they can do in a couple of T20 games. They fell short in one of them recently. I think that was against Belmont. But, look, they've got a lot of good players there. Nick Watkins, the Bills brothers, Rahul Bakshi. They've got some good pace bowling options as well. So if they're firing, they're easily a top four side, the way that we saw them at the start of the season.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, I think if they're going to make a play late on, they're going to have to get some big results. And I think they'll be sniffing blood in this one, mate.
Yeah, I certainly think, well, if they can pick up an outright here, obviously puts them in a really good position. And on that, we might just have a quick, before we get too far into these games, we might have a quick run through the overall ladder, mate, if you've got, you know, your latest scribbled iteration of that, mate. So,
well, I just according
so who have we got as the sort of a top three, I guess, or top four or five, is it?
Yeah, Hamwick's, well, they've raced away because of the double outright.
Just the two recent outright winners,
Toronto, I guess, top. Toronto the big movers, mate. So Hamwick third to second on 52.
Hamwick 60, Toronto 52. So they've got a good gap. Third and fourth, fifth, sixth are all sort of neck and neck there.
Yeah, Uni, Charlestown, 48, and, yeah, West's on 45, mate.
Merriweather back on 43. Wall's End would be really ruining that wet weather because they were in a pretty good position, I think, against Merriweather. I mean, the difference there, like you look at it, Merriweather would be on 41 and so would Wall's End. I know, sorry, Wall's End would be on 39, but they'd be a lot closer striking distance. They'd only be 6 points away from West and 9 points, so, you know, an outright at the right point from here. Could have seen them sort of climb up the ladder, but yeah, I guess, you know, a poor start of the season might come back to bite them. I would be very surprised if Cardiff can make it from there. They would need an outright this weekend because they're back on 33, and then the other four teams, they're not making the finals.
No, too far out.
Yeah, look, I mean, even Belmont, who are starting to play this in good form, they're on 26 by your numbers.
22 points behind.
So even two outrights and losses for the other teams, look, that still, you know, puts them 4 points behind them.
Yeah.
Unless they're outright losses for Charlestown. So, yeah, I can't see that happening. But we might actually, mate, as a little bit of a side note, we might try and come up with our predicted finishes and put them up for Saturday. We might put them up on Saturday morning. What do you reckon? Where the ladder finishes? Just a bit of a point of interest there. But, yeah, so we'll move on to the next game. This one is a crucial game for both sides. Toronto hosting University out at Ryan Hill Oval. A loss here could see, you know, teams potentially, you know, drop out of second or fourth, which, you know, big implications of, you know, finals, non-finals, and, you know, tough runs home for some of these sides. So, who do you like here, mate?
Yeah, I think, Uni's a bit all over the shop at the moment, mate, but I think Harriet will want them, you know, firing before the semis. So, I expect Uni to win this one, mate, over, yeah, the home team, the old Toronto.
Yeah, mate, I actually a very similar vein of thought. I think if Uni lose this one, that could be the end of their season. Honestly, like, it's that tight there with those teams in fifth and sixth that, you know, they don't play a lot of games at home. They've got a tough run. I think they've got West next week or next round. Yeah, so they finish with Toronto, West, and Hamwicks.
Tough.
So they, in theory, like, they need to win two of those three to stay in the finals race. And yeah, look, I just don't see it happening. So, you know, they might as well, let Scotty Logan know. Just book his mad Monday, silly Sunday for the 17th of March. Go to Arbidale with you, mate.
Heard of it first.
So, yeah, I'll call it now, and you'll see that in my finish rankings at Uni will win this game, but they'll miss the final still. But if they lose this one, it's definitely curtains for them for mine. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there's been games where they've got massive scores, and we've probably said it a couple of times, they've probably batted a bit too long. So I think not having an outright, so to speak, against, say, the lesser teams is going to come back. But I think they could sniff in the fourth spot, mate.
My concern with them too is just, like, there's clearly points where they just, you know, there's no way to put it, they just seem to go out there and don't give a fuck. Like, is that, like, when you lose a game for the position they're in last week against a team that's coming third last, like, what else does that say to you? Like, you're meant to be one of the powerhouse sides of the competition with the players they've recruited, the batting depth they've got, the bowling depth they've got. Like, they've got five or six genuine all-rounders. Like, you know, you've got Buddy Harriet there. You've got you got all these really talented cricketers, and a lot of them aren't living up to their name, and they're just trying to carry on reputation. So, look, I'm happy to be proven wrong. You know, the University Rugby League team did. But let's see if the University Cricket team can do it. We'll move on to the next one, mate. This one shapes as interesting. The Seagulls, they host the Lions on recent form.
Bit of revenge.
You'd nearly look at Stockton, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you talk to Nick Foster and he says that two-day cricket's more their game than T20 cricket. Yeah. They're fresh. They've had a week off.
Yeah, well, they hang on.
Are you going to tip them?
No, mate, I'm going to tip Meriwether.
Yeah, me too, unfortunately. I'm going to tip Meriwether for an outright. It'll take them 2 days, not one. But, yeah, I think Meriwether will identify this as a big opportunity. They finished their season with Charlestown and West as well, so they'll know sitting just outside there. I think they're sitting in sixth at the moment. They know they need an outright if they want a challenge. There's some big games that have some crucial, you know, meaning, and you know, obviously West have got some of those as well. So yeah, I think they'll push for an outright here, and I think they'll scrape at home. Next up, we might have a look at the team we just talked about. West, they head on the big trip from Haka to Waratah. Mate, this is a big game. Talking about big games and opportunities, West aside that, as we just touched on, they finish with University and Meriwether, two sides that will very much test them, one at home, one away. They're not going to be wanting to rely on other results when they go to Townsend Oval in round nine.
No, they won't. Not as a defending premiers, mate, but yeah, for me, James King is almost up there in the top couple of the form players at the moment, mate, and I think he's going to lead them to an outright victory over Jonty's men.
Yeah, well, Jonty's men seem to just be Jonty at the moment, unfortunately. So, yeah, poor old Waratah, they've hit a bit of a downward slope, and I don't see it plateauing anytime soon. So, yeah, I think West will get this done. I wouldn't be surprised if the outright's done by lunch on day two, to be honest. Yeah, I've just been really unimpressed by what they're offering. They've got a couple of bowling options, their batting lineup. You know, once they lose a couple of wickets, one or two blokes are standing up, but the other guys aren't even offering resistance. It's like bowl, you know, running through wet paper. So, again, happy to be proven wrong, but, looking at the ladder at the moment and the way they're performing, they're going to have a hard time staving off City for that wooden spoon, I think.
Yeah, they will be, but...
Only a point separates them from the wooden spoon. A bit of an interesting battle. So, you know, the difference between, you know, an outright on the way home and... You know, you get outrighted twice on the way home and City don't, then that's a wooden spoon difference. So they got a reason to fight. No one wants to have a wooden spoon, but and I'd like to see for our boys, Pierce and Jono, that they can get past there, but they're not showing us anything at the moment. It doesn't seem to be any fight in the dog.
Might have a gift to take home to his parents, mate.
Wow, yeah. Add to their cutlery drawer. Back to Kent. Right, so who we got left? We've got Charlestown Walls in there. This is an interesting one. It's one of a couple that they're double ups where they play in the T20 on Sunday as well as on Saturday. So, Walls and boys, Nathan Price, take your tents, stay overnight.
Yes, the big trip out there.
They're at Cahaya, but both games. I think University might have the same story out of Toronto.
Yes, this will be interesting.
It's always been an interesting sort of, not a rivalry game. There's been a few players that have traversed the trip out through Edgeworth to Walls End, mate, from Charlestown. I mean, you know, Nathan Price went to Whitebridge High and they're staying straight from Cahaba Oval. Was never really a Charlestown player. He's Windell and Cardiff and then Walls End. But, you know, the big round mound of sound, Jared Forbes is another one. There's been a couple of others that have headed over there from Charlestown. So, yeah, there's always some rivalry between these boys. And I know Pricey and Jed, the two skippers, are good mates. They get along quite well. So there'll be some good banter out there, I would have thought.
Yeah, I would imagine. I'd say it'll be entertaining.
What odds are Pricey mentions that Jed got out of Maisie Gibson?
Pretty short.
Yeah,
pretty low. Yeah, I thought so. But yeah, I'm gonna go. I don't know. It's a flip of a coin, mate. I think I'm gonna go Walls End because they've been a form team since Christmas, and I pick Charlestown every week. But
like Jacob Montgomery is the man. He's surging up at Player of the Year rankings. He was nowhere to be seen a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think Pricey and Monty will get big runs this week again.
He was on 1 point. At the new year, the break, so he's flying up. He's up into the top 10. But hey, I actually thought we might have gone different on this one. But now I'm going to go Walls End as well. I'd love to say that.
I'm happy to be proven wrong.
Come up with your own lines, mate. I'm going to go really outlandish on this one. I'm going to go Walls End to get this done outright.
Oh yeah.
Pat McGann starting to bowl really well. James Beattie bowling well as well. So they've got the bowling attack starting to settle in. James Beattie with his new role as an opener, you know, I think he'll be good there, and looking forward to that. But you know, we've got to tip something a little bit different. So I'll throw that one in, mate. I'm looking for you. I haven't really thrown an upset or a surprise packet.
I'm going to go first innings, but
yeah, right.
The outright would help them.
Oh, you might have a surprise pack in this next one, mate. Belmont versus Hamwicks. Hamwicks are runaway leaders. I mean, even if they drop this game, it probably doesn't kill them. But you know, what their run home as the leaders, they've got they finished with Toronto and Uni, so it's not easy game. So this one will be a crucial opportunity for them to. I mean, essentially, if they get these points here, they get 6 points. That would essentially give them, in theory, a 8-point gap heading into the last two rounds, meaning that they'd only need a draw in the last two rounds to claim the minor premiership by my maths, especially if Toronto do lose this week.
Yeah, so you're looking for something outlandish like Belmont win on first innings, Hamwicks win outright?
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah, I reckon Hamwicks will get sent in on a wet deck and get rolled. Hainsworth will get them home, and then Hamwicks will swap it and win outright.
Yeah, I can actually see that happening. I can see it happening. I don't mind that. I'm just going to go for Hamwicks to win on first innings. They're just going to do enough to get the job done and keep just banking some points. As I said, going into two rounds, only needing 2 points to bring the minor premiership home. And, you know, they'd certainly like to do that at the moment. They claim the one-day cup. They're in a pretty good spot for the T20s. You know, three pieces of silverware, you know, done with the final sort of coming a shot at the fourth. I think they'd be a pretty happy
team.
Pretty good year for a team that was probably written off by a lot. A lot of people sort of hadn't tipped it, sort of run fifth, sixth, seventh. After they lost a couple of players, but the Evergreen Webbers and Benny Balcombe, I mean, he's in red hot form.
T20 star.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. So another one that's moving up our player rankings. He's not quite in the top 10 yet, but he's not far away. But yeah, so that's the 2-day cricket. As I said, we'll have a look at that, mate. You'll have to note down that one, because those points will really throw your ladder around.
Yeah,
mate. What's that work out at, 6-4 or something?
Yeah, I've got a message there from Miss Cap.
I'm pretty sure it's 6-4. Yeah, the world's most organised scorer.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been very helpful for us.
When City nearly did it at the Stockade.
Yeah, exactly right. So we'll move on to the T20 Summer Bash, mate. We might just recap the standings really quickly. So, I mean, there's some interesting ones. Essentially, if you get four wins, you'll go through, is pretty much how it's going to work from here. So we'll start with Pool B. So Belmont and West, if they both win one of their two remaining games, they're through. So if they both win one on the weekend, that's it. They will play each other as well. So one of them is going to win that game. So one of them is guaranteed to make the finals. So that leaves one other spot if the other team can win their other game, which we'll have a look at fixtures in a minute. And I'll get your thoughts, so you might want to just, you know, have a look at what this looks like. So that sits them in, you know, obviously prime position. The other one's obviously the Black Roses, the Lions and the Seagulls all on one win. Stockton, funnily enough, if they win two games this weekend after just being absolutely horrible, all but guaranteed a finals berth. So they'll be right up amongst it, you know. So be interesting to see. I think you'd be hard-pushed to go against the Whips and the Roses. Even if the Whips lose two games, that percentage that they've got there that has them sitting on top of 251% is huge. And it will probably see them through unless they're absolutely smashed. So looking at what the draw is, and we'll touch on that now, I would expect them to, those two sides to go through. So let's have a look at Pool B. We have, so the Rosellas, Lions and Whips all play. So three, you know, big results. The Lions would need to win both and win them both well to get through. The Seagulls and the Black Roses are both on one as well, but they've got an easier path. So yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts here, mate? I see the Rosellas and the Whips going through. I probably see the Rosellas going through in first, but I wouldn't be blown away if the Whips won both their games here. I expect both of them to... I actually think the Whips will drop both their games here, to be honest, and I think the Rosellas will win one of theirs, probably two, and the Lions will pick up a win and probably run third or fourth. So we'll still see the Rosellas and the Whips go through.
Yeah, I think Rosellas will go through undefeated.
Yep.
And Whips will run second because I think Lions will lose both their games.
Right, okay, so the Whips with just one loss to their name. The big question, though, is which McLaughlin are West going to go with? The father or the son?
Is his wife registered?
His son did a little bit of it, did an okay effort last game. So Merv got rested, but the way he can clear the pickets, I'd be certainly shipping him onto the home ground there, and hopefully they bat first, and then he can do his usual stint of just going and sitting in the grandstand and let the young fella feel, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good option. Good option. And then he can't be accused of being a slug in the field.
Oh, exactly right, mate. Stick to his power hitting. Pool A is an interesting one, mate. The Pumas sit atop undefeated. Again, a win should see them through with their percentage being huge. Two wins obviously guarantees they go through. We've then got the Kookaburras and Magpies both on two wins. The Sea Dragons and Tigers on one win, and the Sabres out of contention with no wins. So the one thing we can guarantee, the Sabres and the Waratahs can't make the finals. The Tigers with their percentage are going to really struggle, even with two wins. They'd really need every other result to permutate their way. So I guess we have a look at this. So we have the three teams at Ryan Hill are the Kookaburras, Sea Dragons, and the Pumas. So the Pumas obviously have their work cut out for them because they're taking on Toronto and University. So it'll certainly be very interesting. But in saying that, they could drop two games and could fall out of the equation altogether. The key fact for me looking at the Pumas is they've only lost 9 wickets in their 3 games so far. So they've done things pretty easily, and 3 of those fell in 1 over. Jacob Montgomery last game. So, mate, give me your permutations there. So the Kookaburras, Sea Dragons and Pumas, who wins those games?
I'm going to say the Pumas will win both their games.
So Pumas will go through?
And Kookaburras will beat the Sea Dragons.
Kookaburras will beat the Sea Dragons, so they'll be on 3 wins. And then the other ground at Kyber Oval, the Magpies, the Sabres and the Tigers. I'd be pretty confident in saying the Magpies and Tigers will both beat the Sabres. Who wins out of the Magpies and Tigers?
I'm going to go reverse of my 2-day game. I'm going to say the Magpies get the job done in the 4 o'clock game.
I am going to tell you that I'm going to go the Tigers on this one, but I think that the Kookaburras will end up sneaking through because I think it will be similar results to what you said. The Tigers have got in probably the form player of Maitland Cricket, Lincoln Mills, as one of their marquees. They've also got a young marquee whose name escapes me coming up from Randwick on Sunday. They will lose Tyson Beattie, who's obviously the brother of James, who's been playing down at Hawkesbury and has been playing for them the last couple of weeks as a marquee. But yeah, those two come in. Lincoln Mills, very handy cricketer. Wouldn't look out of place in Newcastle first grade, that's for sure. So he could be very key if he can find his eye on Sunday and could be the difference. Be interesting to see if the Magpies have their marquees. In saying that, they seem to have done better without them. So very interesting to see how that all pans out in regards to it. But, yeah, so I'm going to go the Tigers will miss out on percentage. So I think we'll end up with the Magpies, the Tigers, and the Kookaburras all finishing on 3 wins. It'd be very interesting, actually, if the Sea Dragons knock off the Kookaburras in a really tight game and the Tigers manage to smack the Sabres. So that's the other thing. The Tigers and the Magpies both have to really put on an effort against the Sabres because that's going to be a big percentage booster. Looking at that, I'm actually going to go, I'm going to go the Magpies to sneak into second even after they lose the Tigers.
Yeah, I think they'll go second.
The big thing too that does work in Charlestown's favour is they'll go into that last game knowing exactly where they sit because the Kookaburras will have played their early game against the Sea Dragons, so they'll know whether they're in front or behind on percentage. They'll also know the result of their Sabres game, so they'll know. So they may be able to actually just play a bit more cautiously in that game, keep wickets in hand to help their percentage. Knowing the Kookaburras had to beat the Pumas to get past them. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of live updates being run. So that'll be interesting to see how the mechanics and mathematics play out on that one. Whereas the other pool, probably not as crucial because it's going to be the Rosellas and the Whips in the last game at Harper Oval. So that'll pretty much, they'll know exactly where they're sitting if they've both had a win earlier in the day against the Lions and
I might call it.
They might just both declare. Declarations in T20 cricket.
Yeah.
How happens there? Do you go to Super Over if they both declare none for none?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe they just hose the pitch. West have been known
maybe to go that, to maybe they will get the sprinkles out at half time.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the T20. So based on that, so you've got the Pumas and the Kookaburras, the Whips and the Rosellas. So the Pumas.
Magpies.
Yeah, so you have the Magpies going into second as well.
Yeah, because they're going to win both their games.
Right, so you've got the Pumas. So that means the Pumas will play the Whips.
Yep.
The Rosellas will play the Magpies. Who's your final?
The Pumas and Rosellas.
Right. The Pumas. I'm going to go the Pumas. Actually, I'm going to go the Magpies and the Whips as the final.
Michael Darby.
Yeah, and the Magpies to lift the trophy. So that's my little bit outlandish tip. So I wouldn't be disappointed if the Pumas and the Magpies played in the final and repeated what they did in that game that came down to the last ball, and you know, Tip Crawford just inches short, literally like 2 inches decided that game. Well, you don't want to get a closer game to 220 than that. So that'd do me if we get. That's all I can ask for. I really think is if we get some cracking action. No coverage this weekend. The Bar TV boys will be elsewise disposed, but they will be covering the finals next Sunday, which is we'll cover obviously on the show next week. Yeah, we might move on to the round ball action. We're halfway through, so we might start quickly on the Youth League Grand Final. Not going to go too in-depth into this, just a congratulations to Brisbane Roar. A 3-1 winner over the Wanderers reserves. Impressive on the road. Wanderers got home ground advantage for the final. That was played on Friday night. And, yeah, there was goals aplenty, and it was a bad weekend to be Wanderers.
Did they all train at the same venue, the Wanderers, last week?
Yeah, who knows, mate. Yeah.
They all got a goal.
That's that. We might move on to the W League, and we'll just have a look. Obviously, the Jets wrapped up their season.
They certainly did, mate.
With a nice win, mate.
They did. Big 4-1 win, mate. They finished the year with a wet sail.
Not bad at all. They ended up missing the finals by 3 or 4 points.
Yeah, one win outside, but I suppose injuries.
Yeah, I mean, considering the injuries, they finished the season really well. This weekend's finals, obviously they're out of action now. Sunday, both games, 2 o'clock and 7:15 respectively. Melbourne Victory host Perth at Amy Park, and Brisbane Roar host Sydney FC at Dolphins Stadium in Redcliffe.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a decent ground, used for the Queensland Cup fairly regularly, so good luck to all involved there. Mate, I'm going to go for Perth to win the comp, mate. I'm tipping from here. Who are you tipping?
I'm going to go with Brisbane.
Brisbane Roar, beautiful. Hopefully it's a Brisbane Perth club. Grand final, we have a bet that you won't pay up on. So moving along to A-League, mate, this is the stuff we want to hear about. We might start off with our Newcastle Jets Player of the Year standings. And she's neck and neck at the top, mate. Georgievski, 36. Topor Stanley, 35. Petrados, 27. Jugarkovic, 26. And then Moss and Vargas on 23. Bugard, 21. Kanarovski, 20. And the man who brings up 200 games tonight, well, when I say tonight, it'll be before the pod's actually released. Jason Hoffman on 15, everyone else back in the single digits. But, yeah, very exciting, mate. We've got a big run of soccer ahead of us.
Yes, hopefully some more bumper results like last Friday night.
Yeah, that's where we'll start, mate. A 5-1 victory. Plenty of goals. You might want to fire through those for us, mate.
5-1, yes, it was. I didn't get the goal scorers, but...
actually, got one job.
Maybe Trotter scored. I know Donovan got two.
He did. The Hoff scored.
Hoff called it. Yeah, great goal. And the other one was Rydenton.
Was Matty Rydenton opened his account?
Yeah, and their bloke come on for 15 seconds and scored.
Yeah, Mitch Duke didn't muck about. So, yeah, as you said, O'Donovan got two, one in stoppage time and a penalty. The Hoff set up the first one and then scored the second. He was on fire at that point.
Yeah, he was.
Give him the keys to the kingdom.
He's back. Hoff's house is back.
Hoff's house is back, mate. He's flying. Watch him surge up those rankings. It's sad that he didn't get very many points from us last week, anyway.
No. Tough school, mate. Yeah, he must be in the same boat as Nathan Price.
No, don't get us started on that. But, yeah, so...
But we scored some goals, mate. It was great to see.
Yeah, I've just realised that's an old version of the points. I'll have to get the updated one. That's for some reason reverted back. We'll get the updated ones sorted out for that and up on the page. Again, we've had some... Had some technical difficulties that have made us unable to get anything posted.
Got locked
out of the Facebook, mate. So I'm back in as of today, so we'll be able to get back on there. So I'm not sure what happened there, but the joys of technology again. But tonight is 7:50 p.m., I believe. Newcastle Jets versus Wellington.
That is correct, mate. And we're back at home, so I'm looking for another repeat performance of last week, and I think we're going to get it done, mate.
I don't know, do you remember what I tipped last week? What score I tipped?
You tipped the result by 4-0.
Yeah, and you laughed at me.
Did you get your tips in?
No, I told you, I'm not putting them in anymore.
I got a perfect round, so high five to me, but Xavier's still wild.
Did you get a perfect round, though? Did you get the margin?
I got a perfect result round.
No, you didn't get a perfect round, mate. Don't mind it.
5 out of 5.
Yeah, well,
I think they'll get the job done. I'm tipping a margin of 3 goals, mate.
What's the score, mate? Tip a score.
4-1.
I'm going to get 3-1, mate. Hoff to score a double in his 200th. I love it. Next up, mate, Brisbane Roar versus Sydney FC. That's tomorrow night, 7:50. Who do you like?
Can't see anything but a Brisbane loss here, mate. I'm going to go to Sydney.
Yeah, I'm going to go Sydney as well. Sydney 2-0. Wanderers, Mariners. Wow, what a fun game.
Great game.
This may finish -3 to -4. Saturday, 5:35. Who do you like here, mate? Who's going to get it done?
I think it's going to be a thrilling 2-2 draw, mate.
2-2 draw. They're back at the wonderful Spotless Stadium. I am going to go a riveting 2-1 win to the Mariners. Wanderers in all sorts. Melbourne City, they host Adelaide in the late game, the free-to-air TV game on Saturday night at Amy Park, 7:50 p.m. This one, probably close to match of the round, mate. This one or the next one?
Yes, and
people in Melbourne are being treated this weekend. So
I like their double-header weekends at Amy Park.
Well, mate, there'll be 3 games, because remember the semi-finals there. The semi-final will be the curtain raiser, and it's Melbourne versus Perth as well, which we'll get to in a second. But Melbourne versus Adelaide, mate, who do you like here?
Melbourne City 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to get Adelaide 2-1. So, yeah, mate, both sides in some hot and cold form, but, yeah, looking forward to seeing how that one plays out. It'll be a crucial one in terms of those minor placings. Hopefully Melbourne City can win, because it helps the Jets on their crusade to close the gap.
15-0.
Yeah, Melbourne Victory, Perth Glory, as we said. So the women's semi-final will proceed this at 2 o'clock. This is at 4 o'clock at Amy Park. Interesting to see how the ground holds up to the traffic. Mate, I am going to go this one. Obviously, the top two sides on the table, I think they currently are. I am going to go a 2-2 draw with Perth to get a late equaliser. It'll be controversial. It always is. The VAR will miss something.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Perth.
Yep, score.
3-2.
3-2 to Perth. Okay, lovely, mate. So that is the A-League. Obviously, it would be remiss of us not to mention the big game on Tuesday night here in Newcastle. The Jets host Persija Jakarta, I think is the name of the team.
That seems correct, yes.
Yeah, you're not going to try and pronounce it, are you? Now, Persija Jakarta do have a pretty handy Croatian player. I was having a look at this today. And I don't know, did you catch the chat on the Newcastle Jets posted it? There's just all these Jakarta fans just going mental on the post.
No, I didn't see that.
Mate, there's thousands of comments just abusing Newcastle, abusing their players. So, yeah, Marko Simic is the guy's name, so he will be the key man for us to shut down. I did see today that we confirmed our marquee imports, non-Asian players, and Joyer's been pushed out.
Oh, no.
So I don't know what the story with Mossy is, because he wasn't listed, but Matt Rodenton was. So I don't know if Mossy will still be in there. But, yeah, I guess we'll know more on Tuesday. But I've got to say, big kudos to Laurie McKinnon and Joel Griffiths, what they've done with the game. $20 tickets, $10 if you remember. I think $25 family pass. I think $25 for members, $50 for adults. Lower bowl, every seat's the same price. Mate, hopefully, there's already about 4 or 5 bays booked out. We got our tickets yesterday, so, yeah, hopefully we'll be going along. Are you going along?
Yeah, we got 5, mate.
5, whereabouts are you sitting?
Bay 51.
I see the opposite corner, mate. I'm Bay 51.
In the aisle.
Yeah, we're right next to where the Jets run out for their warm-up in the front row, so that'll be nice.
Hoff, 201, high five.
Mate, Beck was pretty excited. She might be a bit more than a high five. Who knows? it'd be good, something different. Our regular seats, well, that was the only thing that probably disappointed me a little bit, was that in that member pre-sale, you didn't have the opportunity to grab your own normal seats.
Yep.
I think they should have allowed that in the member pre-sale. Again, $10, it's hard to get past. We bought 2 extra tickets and invited a couple of our friends along to try and bolster, so we're not doing the silly buying 10. You could buy 10, and we didn't want to repeat to the grand final. But, yeah, I'd encourage anyone that's not doing anything on Tuesday night. Like, if you're a cricketer, just skip cricket training. Like, let's be honest, Piers and Jono, it's not going to help you. Come along, get behind the Jets. They're wearing a custom strip, which is horrible in my mind, but it's got Newcastle plastered across it. So I do like Sydney's on it. Did you see Sydney's one come out today? Check that out. It looks nice. I know our main man, Scalzi, he's a big fan of Sydney's as well. He doesn't like Newcastle's. Crystal Palace rip-off, I think a few people have called it. But, I was quite impressed. I also watched the highlights of their game against Home United. The Singaporean, second best Singaporean team. Even that's a confusing thing because the top team in Singapore is a feeder club to Albirex Niigata, which is a Japanese J-League club. So, of course, they're a feeder club to them. Like, they're actually owned by them. They are essentially the same club. They weren't eligible to come in, so the second team came in. But, yeah, so I understand going forward we'll have an extra qualifying spot too once Western Melbourne come in, which is good news. We'll then have 10 Australian teams because Wellington don't count. But, yeah, so be interesting to see. I'm going to back the Jets to get this one done 2-0.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 to the Jets.
2-1 to the Jets, yeah. So I'm really looking forward to having a look at this Marco Simic, though. If he's any good, we should sign him.
Yeah, well, we've got a spot there now.
Yeah, well.
Just on that, while we're on the Jets, they have got their revamped fan day on Saturday at number 2.
Yes, I did see that as well. So yeah, get amongst that if you've got the opportunity. If you're not attending the next sporting event that we're about to touch on, mate, and that might be as good a point as any to transition.
We're back. So, yeah, we're back with a bit of rugby action this weekend, mate.
Yeah, moving on to the oval ball instead of small red and pink ones and the other round balls that seem to amuse people through the summer. Mate, the Mick Whale Curry Sevens will be on. They start Friday night, I understand. I've got the Saturday draw in front of me. I don't have the Friday night one, but the fixtures are Saturday evening, I think, from about 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yes, that is correct, mate. I think it's the juniors, the under-19s.
Yeah, the under-19s and under-16s girls, I think. They'll continue on. I think they play their finals. They'll get to play their finals. It's nice. They play in the cool of the night and then play their finals in the middle of the day on Saturday. Genius. Love your work there. But anyway, it's good to see that they're, you know, and I know I saw Gordon bringing up a coloured men's team, the women's team, and a junior boys team, I think.
Yeah, a bit of link there with the family, mate. But
yeah, exactly right with the Better Coleman coaching down there, mate.
Yeah, he's correct. He's transitioned from Warringah, but yeah, Warringah, they're coming across too, mate. They've got
yeah, mate. There's plenty of teams coming. So as we said, we've got the juniors. We won't delve too much into them. I'll have a look at the I suppose the women's first. We've got two pools, I believe. Pool A, pool B. That makes sense. Warringah, Waratah, Nelson Bay, and Stingers. I don't know who Stingers are. Did you find that out from Bubba?
No, I wasn't able to find that out.
No, that's all right. And then Manly, UTS Gordon, Hawks, and Newcastle Uni. I noticed Manly are designated Manly 1, but there's only one team.
Maybe they're thinking of that too. But
yeah, maybe. Or maybe they're just different down there. So that'll be interesting to see. I think you'd be hard-pushed to go past the Sydney sides, I think, without knowing what Stingers is. Look, I'll be surprised if a Sydney side doesn't take out the women's. Waratah might give them a good run, depending on who they've got available. But yeah, what are your thoughts there?
I think it's going to be a pretty close, but yeah, Warringah women's are normally give a good account of themselves.
Mate. Obviously, I forget when we get around to rugby season, you can't actually tip, but you can give us some feedback on it. So,
be interested to see how Nelson Bay go, mate.
Yeah, they've got some recruits, have they?
Well, I think they're pushing into the women's. Obviously, Maya Stewart is at the Waratahs, but it'd be interesting to see how they go.
Certainly will, mate. We've also got then, obviously, as we said, we've got the juniors, but then we've got the men's. So you've got the country men's with four pools of four teams, and there's a good spread of teams as well. And then the premier men's with two pools of five teams. So the premier men's is... essentially, they're all teams from Sydney, either the Shoot Shield level or there's a couple of subbies teams as well. So we'll run through. Warringah's got it to the Rats, as they are. I've got a team in both pools. UTS Gordon, the Stags have got a team in both pools. Then we've got in Pool A alongside those two, North, Randwick, and Liverpool, who are a subbies team. I haven't heard too much about them previously. And then you've got East, the Western Sydney Toodlers, who won't be graced by the presence of the great man, though, the former Waratah, Lake Macquarie, Newcastle Wildfire, Southern Beaches. Nelson Bay, stalwart Big Nige, which is disappointing. He's always good to see around, but I understand he's coming up to Lake Macquarie Sevens next week, so everyone will get their dose of the Nige. With the Western Sydney Toodlers and Drummoyne in that pool as well. Yes. So, I'm not sure on the spelling of the people that did the draw, someone called Dumoyne. I don't know if they'll like that. There'll be some strong ones there, mate. I can't go past Randwick and Warringah in Pool 1, and probably I'm going to say Gordon, and I'll be interested to see just depending on the depth of Warringah, I wouldn't be surprised if either, Gordon and then maybe the two Blues in the second pool.
Yeah, Eastern Suburbs are traditionally pretty good at sevens. So.
Yeah, mate, I don't want them a day night for the Roosters, so they're no good.
We'll see.
They wear the same colours too, don't they?
Yes.
Red, white, and blue?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think the... I'd really love to see one of the subbies team made a semi. Wouldn't that be good?
It's a bit like
in this country ones, which we'll get onto in a second. I'd really like to see some of the there's a couple of regional teams. I'd like to see them push through. So we'll run through here. So the country's good because it's quarter final, so the top two make it through. So you can afford to drop one game probably across the day. And there's a couple of teams that have got clubs that have got two teams in. So Pool A is Hamilton A, Wanderers, Gunnedah, and Griffins. I think you'd expect Hamilton and Wanderers to go through in there, but I'd love to see Gunnedah or Griffins give it a shake. I can't expect Griffins only won one game in 15th last year, or Gunnedah probably a step up in class for them. This next pool, it's probably going to be an interesting one because you've got Lakes A, so North Lakes from the Central Coast, who a lot of people who follow Newcastle rugby will know. I'm sure there'll be some Homopos and Lanzinis and the likes. Either, not many of them are cut out for sevens, but they'll be around, they'll be drinking. Shoalhaven, Newcastle Uni and Mayfield East. So obviously, Uni a reshaped team. East, both their sides were quite strong in the second division, or whatever you want to call it, last year. Shoalhaven, an unknown quantity. And, yeah, like I said, Uni, you know, they're reshaping. Lakes, what are they going to bring up? They're one of the stronger teams on the coast. This pool could be anyone's, mate.
Yeah, spicy, that one, I reckon.
Spicy, I like it. I'll tip North Lakes and Uni to go through, just not knowing what Shoalhaven have and East, but I'd love to see it at East or Shoalhaven sneak through. I'd love to see that a Newcastle team doesn't progress from there, nothing against Uni, just mix it up a little bit, reward the travel. Pool C, mate, now this is the one I like. It's got Nelson Bay's first team, Kempsey, my old hometown, mate, my old stomping ground. I'll be interested to see if I know any of the boys that are playing there. Singleton and Hamilton's B team. Hamilton's B team probably wouldn't fit under the salary cap in the NRL anyway. And there'll be 6 Fijians and 4 Tongans and 3 Samoans and VAR.
Yeah.
So they'll be strong. Singleton will be interesting too because they played some good running rugby last year. They had some really... what's the young halfback there? Cooper Harris.
Yeah.
He'd be interesting. So he'll be quite strong for his size and very elusive. So, it'll be some good... Singleton will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what Sam Kempsey are. And Nelson Bay, obviously. If Nathan Oliver's not cut out for sevens, I don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah, they won a title at the Crescent Head last week, mate.
So they did. They won the plate, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so good to see. The final pool, Maitland, Merriweather, Lakes B and Nelson Bay 2. I'd expect Maitland and Merriweather should go through there if they're full tilt.
Are they going to turn up in black? They were white last year.
Merriweather Carlton.
Maitland.
Well, I just want to know what happens if Nelson Bay 1 and 2 play, or Hamilton A and B have to play in a quarter final.
Wouldn't it be good if them four teams made the semis?
Maybe a switch jersey to the club. Maybe having to wear a Hamilton jersey to play your own team. Yeah, well, hopefully they've got some alternate jerseys on hand. So, mate, I'm going to go with that. I think in this division, you'd be hard pushed to go past whoever come. I wouldn't be surprised if Hamilton A and Wanderers end up coming back and meeting in the final. They'll both take this pretty seriously. Nelson Bay could be a bit of a dark horse in the form they're in. They obviously hit some sevens form pretty good, so... they're probably my three to take it out. I think Maitland, Merriweather, Carlton might just be using this to get a bit yardage in the legs, really. So that's my thoughts. But I think the usual top five clubs from last year will be strong, and hopefully, as I said, some of the others can mix it in there, and you know, a Singleton or someone can go deep. So that is the Mick Walecurry Memorial Sevens. I believe all games on Field 1 on Saturday will be covered by the great Bar TV Sports, and they're obviously scraping the barrel, mate, on first of all on referees, because you'll be officiating.
I'll be there, yep.
Mate, so set yourself a goal of the country final, or the top one?
Well, whatever Xavier appoints me to, mate.
What are you going to see? You surely set goals when you go out there to referee a tournament like this. Like, you want to be the top referee at the end of the tournament?
Oh, I would like to.
Is that how it's done on these tournaments? Is it normally the best performed referee on the day with a little bit of consideration to their normal experience goes to the final, or is it just whoever Xavier feels like appointing? What are the odds of Xavier getting the first the main game?
That'll be low.
It'll be low? Is that on ability
say about 2:30 he normally cramps up, mate, so he can't run by 5 o'clock. So
I heard a whisper that he was only making himself available for the game number 39 at 104, the young boys' final, King Grider. Yes. Yeah, we have to be careful what we say. No comment from you. Look, I'm looking forward to seeing the referees go around as well in their first hit out, see how everyone's been performing over the off-season. Obviously, some grasshoppers form won't hurt a few of you boys. Have you managed to get the number one marquee over to refereeing as well as touch?
Which is?
Luke Bird.
Luke Bird, no, not yet.
I don't need to try and fight people. It'd be interesting.
What'd you say?
Yeah. Anyway, he'd be able to outrun him if he got the race.
Certainly would.
He's lightning. But, yeah, as I said, I've talking scraping the barrel. I've been roped in to do some commentary, so I'm looking forward to that. I think I'll be covering games from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so by default, I think I get to do the big dance, which will be exciting, so it'll be good there. And we might try and do a couple little posts through the day if I've got time between games to keep everyone up to date, or at least share if Hamilton are doing them on our page, just to keep it flowing so people can keep up to date. But yeah, look, really exciting. I'm going to hitch my wagon. As I said, I'll go with Randwick to win the men's, Moringa to win the women's, and the country men's, I will go with Hamilton A. So nothing really outrageous there. Randwick's probably the biggest dark horse out of all there. And you've got probably, obviously, there's some other positives and opportunities for people that they get down to the games on the weekend.
Yeah, Chucky Stannard is the ambassador for the weekend.
He'll be there. For those who don't know, Chucky Stannard, former captain of the Australian Sevens, through probably a stronger period than we're in now. Probably one of our strongest periods and one of the most seasoned Sevens players that we've had. So even alongside probably the likes of a Louis Holland. So
yes.
Recently retired after an unfortunate off-field incident.
Yes, that's correct. But no, he's there for the whole weekend. And yeah, four of the Aussie girls are coming down, mate. Emma Totengado.
Tongatato.
Dom Detoit.
Yep.
Yasmin Meekers and Lauren Brown. They're going to be
last one, right? Good work.
One out of four.
So so plenty of action this weekend. As we said, a bit of a quick recap. You've got two-day cricket at six different grounds on Saturday. T20 at four different grounds on Sunday. Saturday will be a peak of action at the Cohiba Charlestown Sports Complex there, with the Sevens and the cricket on. The Sevens on all night Friday night, and all day Saturday from about 8:30 in the morning till about 7 o'clock at night. There's worse ways you can spend your day than go and watch a bit of the cricket, come down and watch the Sevens and finish off with the final there with a couple of, I'm sure they'll have a licensed bar there, which will be good.
Yep.
Might get a few to just loosen my, I can't start drinking till Sunday, for shame. But yeah, so there's those, the T20, the Jets at home tonight. Thursday night, it'd be too late to get there if you hear this, but Tuesday night, get to the Asian Champions League, guys. When I said skip cricket training, don't worry about that, it's overrated. There's blokes in first grade, they're skipping games. But yeah, make sure you get down, plenty of local action, and it's getting to the business end a lot of these seasons, and there's plenty of exciting stuff happening. There's trophies on the line in the rugby, teams fighting for finals berth in the cricket, and us raising our bat to the half century, mate. Thank you for being here for 49 of the 50 episodes, so you can raise your bat next week.
Yeah.
Personal 50. We've done plenty more in between. It's been good fun so far. Look forward to doing another 50. Hopefully in a cooler studio. We're in the new Luke Quigley studios this week, so one of the great nights of all time. I think he's Al Logan's favourite player, isn't he?
Certainly is.
Al's campaigning for him to be the next immortal.
Yep.
We should ring him up and see if he can be a sponsor. He's a tradie. Get around it, Luke Quigley. But yeah, so thank you again, everyone, for tuning in, listening to our dribble for 50 episodes. A few mentions very quickly, and apologies if I missed anyone, to a few people who have been right behind us. John O'Toomey, Pierce Robinson, Daniel Arms from the cricket front, Bill Pappas, he's always a good sport. Keep firing through, mates.
Ollie, president of Charlestown.
Yeah, Ollie's always given us some good goss.
Aaron Gray
from NDCA. The NDCA has been a good support. Onto the Rugby League, Matt Lantry, Adam Bettridge have been two really good partners with us. They've helped out the Rugby League Academy for Matt Lantry. Obviously, Troy Lowry, we wouldn't be here for a lot of the stuff that we do without Troy. Great support, putting us in contact. The Jets and all the guys in the media department there that have helped us out with their stuff. Nathan Ryan at the Knights as well. There's 1,000 other people. Big Jason Mullins, he's probably our number one fan, listening in and giving me some feedback on the show. Gareth Varchek, former Bar TV, still doing a bit of commentary with him, so... Look, there's 1,000 other people we'd like to thank our partners for putting up with this nonsense week in, week out. And yeah, just everyone keep tuning in. Give us a share, give us a like. A few more rates and reviews would be great. If you want to hear get a shout out on the show, just rate or review us on your native app that you listen to us on, and flick us through a copy, and we'll make sure to read them out. We may have to redact or filter some of them or translate them into English for some people. Looking at you, Pricey. But, yeah, so, again, the social media channel, SportsCastleAU on Insta, Twitter, and Facebook. Get around the Bar TV guys. We're doing a lot more with them. They're covering lots of the local sport. They'll be back on the cricket finals. They're on the rugby this weekend. And, yeah, mate, thanks again for you. Thank you for travelling all the way up here into the sauna that is our studio. We've been in a lot of saunas lately.
Yes.
Should be fit.
Very hot.
And, yeah, we'll see everyone back next week for episode 51.
Yep. See you then, guys.